Bob in a loud voice, adapted to the moral, not the physical, distance between them. "We don't want anything. I don't deal with packmen. Mind you shut the gate after you."
"Stop a bit, not so fast," said Mr. Glegg. "I haven't done with this young man yet. Come in, Tom, come in," he added, stepping in at the French window.
"Mr. Glegg," said Mrs. G. in a fatal tone, "if you're going to let that man and his dog in on my carpet before my very face, be so good as to let me know. A wife's got a right to ask that, I hope."
"Don't you be uneasy, mum," said Bob, touching his cap.
He saw at once that Mrs. Glegg was a bit of game worth running down, and longed to be at the sport.
"We'll stay out upon the gravel here, Mumps and me will. Mumps knows his company, he does. I might ish at him by the hour together before he'd fly at a real gentlewoman like you. It's wonderful how he knows which is the good-looking ladies, and's particular fond of 'em when they've got good shapes. Laws," added Bob, laying down his pack on the gravel, "it's a thousand pities such a lady as you shouldn't deal with a packman, instead of going into these new-fangled shops where there's half a dozen fine gents with their chins propped up with a stiff stock, looking like bottles with ornamental stoppers, and all got to get their dinner out of a bit of calico. It stands to reason you must pay three times the price you pay a packman, as is the natural way of getting goods, and pays no rent, and isn't forced to throttle himself till the lies are squeezed out on him, whether he will or no. But laws, mum, you know what is better nor I do. You can see through them shop, but I'll be bound."